Get a real FM translator.
Is there any way you could add some bass to our voices to compensate a little?
It won't matter because if it starts,
we all have to talk like this
decode,
so we sound normalish.
Going to do that.
I'm recording our audio.
Yes,
I wish
definitely
I,
do that.
I wish I could play it back just to test, but I can't. I don't know.
No,
go ahead, Ben.
The
start.
Output
give us
device.
Your deep voice.
No, our own output's going to be fine. What's happening is in the decode, encode, decode of the stream is going wonky somewhere. When in the machine, it'll be fine. Because it's putting it in a file, for Christ's sake.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Recording, also, it's all on Lexi. Hmm. Lexi.
Yep. It's there.
I think we're on, guys.
Oh, we're on the air.
Which one are you listening to? Are you listening to the thing stream, or are you listening to the main?
The main.
We're pitch shifted by a whole tone.
I know.
That's it.
There you go.
One whole tone.
Let's see.
No, the official timing isn't good. We're 7:02 is when we should start.
Okay.
And that's when I will.
All right. Sounds good.
But you're assuming their NTP is right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I can see they have a commercial on. So it's going, it's just shifted. So
mm-hmm. a commercial.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
No, I'm
this
the radio
guy. This webpage is probably garbage. It's totally.
You're literally insulting the work of someone that might be listening. So, I don't know. I love how we're starting up and Ben's just chugging down the beer, washing down them cookies. I am an idiot. Why do I give out food?
They stick out. They stick to your mouth.
To your teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
They're good ones, though.
Yeah, they are good.
I need a second display so I can get
oh
like,
my God.
Down.
The, I don't know.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from the Jeff Bezos Skin Regeneration and Tiki Bar Facility, located at 65 West Bridge Street here in Catskill, New York, on WGXE Acra, Catskill, Husky, 90.7 FM. The poor people that are kind enough to host our sorry butts. To the left of me, we have Ben. How you doing?
Pretty good yourself, man.
Not bad. Doing okay. In the back, handling all of the tech stuff tonight is Brian. How are you?
All right. Seeing what's going on here. That's weird.
Weird is always weird, and weird is always good. We're going to run with that. And across from me, Cody.
Apparently, being shifted one whole tone up makes it sound like chipmunks.
Yeah, because we're trying to hear our voices on the internet stream, and it sounds wrong to us, so if...
Well, we know it's wrong.
Yeah.
We know. Those of us who are musically inclined, we are shifted one whole tone up.
Yes, and we
on
are...
On semitone, one whole tone.
We are Mr. Conductor and the Chipmunks tonight. We're recording it, so hopefully we can post it later at a proper sound, or you're hearing it over the radio waves correctly, but either way, this is us, and this is what you get. Not to be mean about it or nothing.
Yeah, no.
Nope, it's just, that's life.
Right
in,
under the bus.
In tech world.
All right, now.
That's life in tech world, you know?
Diving right into it, do we have anything we wish to speak about tonight? Anything grinding your gears?
Everything grinds my gears.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Just kidding.
All right, well, what's top of the list or causing the most squeaking?
You got anything, Ben?
Well, there's just the general ninnery of the internet, but, like, you know, there's that.
Did you say the ninnery?
Yeah, the ninnery.
Oh.
Ninnery? Is that like a nunnery? Like, get thee too.
That's like
no,
that's like if
no,
you're
no, you don't
want
to go to the ninnery. You don't want to go to
the... It sounds like where they put the crazy people.
No. It's just crazy people doing crazy things on the internet. Like ninnies, right?
Oh, you yeah, mean everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dopes. Doofs.
Pretty much.
Goofs. And other forms of radio-friendly words.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're popping them plosives with those hard consonants.
Hey, I'm not talking directly into the mic, so no plosives here.
Oh, no, I'm all over it. I'm just
isn't
gonna,
it ironic
I'm gonna
that...
slobber on it, yeah.
ASMR, Thingularity Radio.
Hey, whatever draws in the listeners and the fine people that like to donate to the station.
Isn't it ironic that the word plosive is itself a plosive?
Yes.
What? I've never heard of that word.
A plosive is a word with a consonant that has like
a
hard tone to it, like, so that
or k or g.
Yeah.
You know, something that makes a mic pop.
You see the VU meter we have, whatever makes that like leap to the top. I used to say triple point plosive test, and that would always pop it off. And if the mics go all wonky and sound like this, then you need to adjust your stuff, especially if you got somebody that talks like that. With a little bit of radio insight to everybody, because, I mean, radio's tech, so we can talk about it. That's fine.
It's good to know.
So what kind of internet ninnery have you seen as of late?
Mostly user-inflicted, but, like,
of course.
I don't want to go into that.
Man, that story you told about the BitTorrent guy was fun, though. It was funny.
Yes, it was.
The BitTorrent guy? Well, Ben, please, tell us what happened.
So,
no names, no nothing important, just
basically what ends up happening is there's the Digital Millennial Copyright Act, and that allows basically rights holders to assert their copyright to ISPs.
That would be movie studios, the recording industry, Association of America, people like that.
Yeah, any of those. And so usually what they have is a sort of an automated script bot that will email me.
oh, fun!
And then say that, like, hey, this IP address is hosting this file. And it will do it over and over and over.
About the same IP?
Oh, yeah, same IP, same user.
So and what you're saying is they basically plan on you ignoring it for a while until it just annoys you.
Yeah, it's basically an irritant to make it go away. And then they will email.
Do they know that such a thing as a spam folder exists?
Fortunately, I can't ignore them. I'm not Spectrum just be like, you know what, no. I'm not going to even bother with this. You can come sue me, and then I'll, you know, negotiate something later or just plead ignorance.
Gotcha.
So we're not big enough to do that.
So we just play nice and okay.
He's a good local ISP engineer.
And this is what the mom and pop kind of ISPs have to deal with.
We respect intellectual property rights. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to be clubbing you to death by the end of the show.
Whoa!
It'll be fine. You're not on my network, Joe, so I don't care.
Sorry about that. Joe just pulled my
dumped on a
microphone. I don't know how you managed that.
We're gonna tape this to the underside of the table. We're gonna get that.
I don't know what the hell happened there? That was good.
But yeah, I mean, in general, you you give people a couple verbal warnings, and then you eventually just have to turn them off. And that's what I ended up having to do to somebody this week.
How often do you have to do something like that?
This is about the first time.
The first time.
The first time.
This must have been like
okay.
It was exceptionally annoying.
This person must just download their thing and leave it on, and they just seed and they seed and they seed.
They have a seed box just sitting there.
Yep.
Yes. Well, because they thought, oh, well, it's me downloading it. No.
It's also you uploading it.
It's you uploading it and then distributing it. So they get mad at you basically because they end up fingerprinting a file either through various ways, and they...
In some cases, uploading it themselves.
Yes, but that's usually with pornography.
Really?
So they use the shame tactic to basically get you to settle. It's been less likely that that's happened, that they end up suing the end users.
We're going to publish that you did this because we have evidence.
What usually happens is it's like they'll sue you, right? And they'll say, like, you know, whatever pornographic title it is, right? And so that's what's on the case docket. So, like, you can imagine if you're married and, like, you got to explain to your wife, like, hey, I got sued for X. Like, how do you... I got sued for whatever. Yeah. Debbie does something. And, like...
What didn't Debbie do?
I mean, that was
Donkey
in the
does
EEF.
Something.
The EEF basically ended up fighting those cases because they were...
The Electronic Frontier Foundation?
Yes.
They fight those cases?
They do.
Wow.
They do.
Anything.
They fought those cases because they were saying, like, you know, BitTorrent and these uTorrents, they basically make it seem like it's free content, and it's not. So they were saying, since you streamed it, it's no longer, you're not on the hook, right? Because they were trying to argue that it's the same thing as, like, YouTube. So, like, in YouTube, right, if I upload copyrighted content, I'm in trouble, but YouTube is not.
Right, just, but you YouTube know, has the ability to take it down.
You know, they
control it.
They're required to have an algorithm that takes stuff down.
They still have to be DMCA compliant.
Yeah, I mean, they claim that they have an algorithm.
For, like, you know, 5 minutes, and then you do it again.
And it's created this incentive to be overzealous about DMCA enforcement, even to the point where, you know, you got Google Drive removing files that are empty except for, like, one byte.
The number one in
The number one. They have the number one flagged. In them, and that gets flagged as
You didn't
DMCA.
Know that Disney had copyright on that.
Disney has a copyright on the number one?
No.
My mistake.
That's
the worst fat... That's the kind of fat finger code that brings down entire networks and global things is, oh, I turn it off, boom, with a one.
Oh, you think maybe we
I don't know, but that's always, like, the argument that, like, artificial intelligence will take us all down, and it's like, well... It's flagging this empty file as copyrighted. It's like it just.
So but yeah, it's going to be a dumb thing like that that actually takes us down.
Probably
because we're dumb. We make the AI, and the AI only does what it's programmed to do.
I don't know if we're going to talk about like a human analog. I know some pretty simple humans that are pretty strong.
Simple like, humans that
yeah,
are strong.
They might not know how to sort an algorithm like that, but they could definitely clobber your butt.
This is true.
So. Maybe an AI is capable of that, where the AI is just like, let's see what happens when we turn all the lights green. Whee!
There you go,
right? We're going to turn off the sewers. Like, I don't know.
What were we on to, though? Can we bring this back to what we were on to?
Oh, yeah.
No.
DMCA and...
something equally as stupid. Okay, yeah.
Right, sure. Getting sued for... now, would this person also... They also downloaded something that was compromising. To their
those I haven't seen that
stuff
as
like
much
that.
It's usually music they're going after, and it's sort of weird because like this
oh
point,
that could be
like,
even more embarrassing.
Really?
you downloaded the Kesha album. I killed myself. Are you kidding me?
All right,
oh my
yeah, no, I have not
bring on
one.
Big Bear Daddies all day, okay? Come on.
Yeah, no, so yeah, no, that is true. I haven't passed musical judgment on these people. But yeah, it's usually for music, and then it's the other weird thing too is it's like broadcast television usually
what?
Gets flat. Yeah, like
I download broadcast TV.
I mean, yeah, because their model is a
broadcast.
You know,
you did that on Mid Hudson's network. I don't care. Keep doing. But like the
I have a virtual private network. Nobody knows what network I'm doing it on.
This is fair too. Somebody else gets sued, not me.
No, so. Yeah.
But
this,
yeah.
Like, this is where it comes down to, folks. Like, this is where it really stops. I can't get sued, so that's where I stop caring.
Yeah.
Because you have a VPN.
Well, assuming that the VPN doesn't turn you in.
Well, the VPN is probably in another jurisdiction that doesn't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you get one that's hosted in the DPRK, Iran.
Well, you get one that's in the Czech Republic or
mine comes
Romania.
Out.
Yeah, Czech Republic.
Mine literally,
anywhere
yeah,
Eastern
that's
Europe.
It. Romania.
Like, whatever.
No, mine literally pops out in Romania. That's my main torrent server is Romania. It works the best.
And they don't even need to be centered. They don't need to be headquartered there. They can just have a data center there.
Yeah, that's the output. That's the butthole right there. That's
Romania?
Where it comes out. Yeah, Romania.
Romania is the butthole of the internet?
It's my personal butthole of the internet, and I'll do with
that's
it as I
like,
please.
That's probably like Ghana or... I don't know. South Africa.
I think Romania is better.
No, we're not going down that road.
Why not?
I don't know, because I want to at least pretend to have standards.
They don't... Oh, I don't
you
know
just want mean. The Romanians?
All right.
No. Well, okay, in my scenario, Romania is the theoretical anal rectum of a network, not the actual world. And that's a whole different level of insult.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that, though.
Oh.
I was saying of the internet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
like...
For Christ's sake, Ghana went down, I don't know, a month or two ago, because both of their backup fiber connections got interrupted.
Interrupted.
Yeah.
Did, like, a...
That was a dry
like
run.
Like a yak chew through the cable or a monkey?
Yak? They don't have yaks?
I don't know what they have there.
An alpaca.
Which Guyana? Like, it always gets very confusing because there's one in, like, South America
Guyana.
And there's
Ghana.
One...
Ghana. Okay, Africa.
Ghana's in Africa.
Okay, so...
Not French, not French Guyana.
So like French Guyana's in
that
South America.
It's like a rhino step.
But there's also, like, an English-speaking Guyana. Or is that the one in Africa?
They speak Afrikaans.
Guyana is... South America.
Oh.
Yep. See, it gets very confusing, right?
This is not geography time.
Jesus.
It's all right.
Back to
like
Romania.
70% of, 70% of Americans can't place the states in their correct place on the map. So, don't worry about it. I'm not going to fault you for not knowing where Ghana is.
There you go. Well,
I can get most of them, I think.
Guyana. Guyana is where Jonestown was, right? In South America.
Yeah.
Guyana.
That's how you put it on the map.
Jonestown.
Rotting bodies.
I thought Jonestown was in
Yeah, it was
Africa.
See?
Where?
See? You thought it was in Africa, but it's really in Latin America.
Is Latin America.
Yes,
it was. Guyana.
Oh.
See? Okay. You made the same mistake.
See?
Jonestown's smaller, though. Much smaller than an entire country.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the specific point we're worried about. Where did it take place? I mean,
where did they drink the Kool-Aid?
Where did they drink the cyanide Kool-Aid? And where can I get mine?
That part of it. Oh, all the dead children. Gotcha.
Use a VPN to do torrenting. Otherwise, don't be surprised when they turn your internet off.
Right.
Thank you, Cody, for snapping us back to reality. That was a bad tangent. Okay, all right. Gonna stop things a little bit. But sticking to Ben and the internet sort of side of things, I know legislation has changed in New York State recently regarding utility poles.
Yes.
Ben, give us the scoop on the pole.
The scoop on the poles?
Scoop on the poles.
Yeah, you said you read the
I did read the law. It's actually surprisingly short. I was, like, shocked. I was, like, expecting, like, a huge brief.
The poles or the bill?
The bill.
Oh, okay.
I was expecting, like, a huge thing of legalese, and it was, like, you know, about a paragraph, like, two. And it was basically stating that, like...
Oh, that's not going to eat up much time.
Don't worry about it.
I'm just kidding.
Can we take a nap? Yeah, right?
Hold on.
Yeah, please.
Start talking about polls, and everyone's like, all right, I'm out of here. I don't care.
I can make that into a Polish joke.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Please go on.
Please continue
poles.
About the okay. utility pole.
The
legislation that's recently passed.
What
in
I
New
asked
York
about
State.
About the legislation.
Is it regulation? Or
how would it affect me?
Or small ISPs in general?
I think in small ISPs, like if you were starting one up, it's not a bad law. Basically, it will alleviate you from upgrading the power the incumbents pole owners. From upgrading their networks, sort of like on your dime. What?
Interesting. Upgrading, yeah. Not just moving, but upgrading?
Yeah, I mean upgrading.
Does that mean that you have better access to the poles, like financially or?
Financially, yeah. It would help you out in the financial sense. Because like if there was like a structurally unsound pole, like in theory, and you wanted to attach to it, like they could sock you with that bill.
But that's their pole.
And it's their pole. You actually don't end up owning the pole. So, like, if you attach to a pole, like, if you're the pole attacher, right, and then you pay to have the pole replaced, you actually don't own the pole.
Who owns the poles?
So, usually it's a joint ownership between the ILEC and the power company.
And ILEC here means,
so
like,
ILEC
the
Ma Bell. Yeah, so, yeah, Ma Bell.
Break up.
Yeah, so, basically, Consolidated, Fairpoint.
Verizon. And the power company.
Yeah, and the power company. And the smaller guys like me, Germantown Telephone.
You're a CLEC.
No, we're an ILEC still.
Oh, you're an ILEC now?
We have a legit ILEC. State Telephone in Greene County is an ILEC.
But how many poles do you actually own?
Quite a few.
Yeah?
Joint pole ownership, yeah. Because, like, basically, we own joint poles with...
Wow.
In the towns of Claremont, Germantown, and Livingston.
How long has GTEL been around?
1902, I think. 1905.
Oh, well, that,
1905.
I guess that makes, sense then.
Yeah.
That does
so
make
1905.
Sense.
Oh, you're legit.
Yeah, they're an incumbent. They've been around long enough.
Yeah.
That's
so,
when there was a lady at the switchboard spreading all the gossip.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. The hot goss and the shared lines. Lines, yeah, no. We had the party lines for quite a while.
I remember party lines. My aunt had one, and that wasn't too long ago, down in Durham, almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was weird, calling the wrong person and just, oh, yeah, we'll switch you over. It's called privacy. Like, y'all ever have phones? Okay, never mind. Fine. Wow.
So, okay. The law means that now when you upgrade a pole, you own it now, right?
No, you don't.
Of course not.
No, you don't. So, basically, it also, like, limits what they can charge you for. So, like, if the pole is... If on the accounting books they've basically made the pole worth $0, they can't charge you the full freight of that pole. So even though they've on their accounting books have basically said that the pole is worth nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could charge you, $2,000.
No, that's for their own financial purposes, right?
Tax purposes.
I'm
and all
assuming
that other stuff.
The intent of this new law has been put out there because like Verizon has been screwing all the newbies over? Is that what why it was put into place?
Verizon isn't really the worst offender. I mean, it's the power companies that will charge you the most to be
so
able
to pull. Power companies are screwing everybody over, making people pay for pole replacements.
Yeah, I mean, on the knock-on effect, right? So, like, probably your power has been more reliable due to the New York State Broadband Project. Because they've replaced tons of poles, they had to do tree trimming.
They got the broadband people to pay for it.
Oh, okay, so the
So the state, in a roundabout way, has actually improved
the power reliability
through the broadband grant.
Yeah, you tell that to the clock that's blinking 12 every time I get home.
You're out on 32. That doesn't count.
But the one side.
But it blinks less, probably.
But the ones that have footed the bill are the broadband companies.
Yeah, for the most part. So basically, anyone who took up till now.
Because now it changes.
Yeah, so that law changed.
Except for HughesNet. Screw them.
Well, I mean, HughesNet. Yeah, I mean, HughesNet. That's
don't,
a diff- that's a di-
don't even mention
right, so,
the name.
So let's say
don't even inflict that on anybody.
So yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I mean, they basically took money and ran. If you look at the BPO map of what they won, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the abandoned cement plants in Catskill.
I saw that.
They won the city of Hudson, which was insane. You know, so they got
paid money to provide all that broadband for the mice and rats at the cement plant in Cementon.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now that's what you call a win.
Nobody else wanted it. Like, why would you bid on that? So they would bid on those, and then they collected the money on it and basically did nothing. It's almost
like this was ran by bureaucrats who know nothing.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. So, I mean, it was, I mean, in some instances, like how they awarded some of the blocks, it would force people to compete with each other. They did do that.
So it did help in some ways.
Yeah, some ways it did. It did force competition in, you know, where basically everyone
where
sort
people
of
were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it did do that, but they did give money to the HughesNets and the other guys. I mean, I shouldn't disparage them, but they really didn't need the money. The service was there. The other thing, too, is like you have a solid second latency, which is insane.
Wow.
On any of those networks.
The simple fact was they weren't going to do something like Starlink, and they weren't going to do something like...
Starlink's better than that. Holy crap.
What's Bezos' project?
That's because
project, whatever
in
it is.
Geosynchronous. It's way in the hell up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's miles out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Brian's right. I mean, it's a serious latency between you and the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you a gamer? Don't get HughesNet.
Yeah. No, or have a Zoom call or a Skype
any real-time thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything time-sensitive.
Email's fine. That works great.
Email, porn sites, HughesNet.
Unless it's snowing. And then you're out.
And I don't
or you
think
park your RV under
a
bridge.
Yeah,
there you go.
I don't even think they upgraded the bandwidth, really. I mean, what do they get, like 15 meg down? 15 megabit?
Well, it's not about speed.
Down.
It's actually about your total bits. I think you're limited to a certain amount of gigabytes a month. And
correct.
They cap you.
You also get a cap.
Oh, yeah.
Because one satellite.
And you get time limited. Like, during the day when the more people are using it, you also get a bandwidth cap. Like, so you won't be able to use the full extent of your bandwidth to that one satellite or set of satellites.
Yeah, they shape you just like the cell phone companies.
Just read a book instead. It'll be faster. Jeez.
Fine. Fair.
Yeah, so there's that.
Just say it.
Think of what else they did.
Oh, mail me a thumb drive.
Outside of the that question, like somebody mentioned Starlink. How has that been affecting the industry? Has any early signs of shifts happen from that?
Not yet.
Not enough subscribers to see.
No,
they're still in beta, aren't they?
I think they're
like 1,000 satellites out there.
They're in a good production, especially like where we are.
There's a lot of them.
They're in a good spot. The trickiness is it's $500 and you have to have the user install it himself. So for $500 and the user installs it himself, just from experience, that's just not going to happen. So, like, if you call me, it's like $50 if you're within 500 feet of the road. And, you know, a professional comes out, installs the router, does all the fun stuff for you, connects your devices. Starlink is basically like, well, I'll give you this for $500 and you do your best.
Good luck, sir.
And if you've ever purchased a Tesla, you'll understand that is their system-wide, you know, business model.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you got to assume too, like you got to get that up on your roof or somewhere with a clear line of sight on the horizon.
And if your latitude is too low, it has a tendency to overheat.
Isn't it just facing upwards and the satellites are always moving on Starlink? They're constantly moving. It's not geosynchronous. It's
correct.
I mean, they're constantly
moving. Constellation.
Giant swirling swarm of low Earth orbit satellites that get in the way of tons and tons of astronomical equipment.
Well, I mean, I mean, there's that, but there's also just like you said, like the dish. You're in the woods in. On 32, and you know, do you really have a clear line of sight?
Just knock down 5 or 20 trees.
There you go.
Right? I was gonna say, you just gotta kind of wander into a field.
There you go. See?
Or up on the mountain, you should be good.
On the mountain, you're good.
That's not where you are, though. That's not your house.
Yeah.
Dang it. We were on the poles. We got off the poles.
Wait, what about
the
poles?
What happened.
The poles. The poles are
They'll split costs.
Are you trying to get back on that pole,
and,
Cody?
Yep.
They can't basically stick you with the full bill of rebuilding.
They can still stick you with a bill?
I think so.
Probably prorated by percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it basically depends. You know, like, if the pole's junky, and they can't stick you with that.
Oh.
But let's say they had a reasonably new pole line, and you were the last attacher, and you don't have enough clearance on power, yeah, they're going to stick you.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was meant to prevent that.
No, they still can. So, basically, I mean, there's, like, there's physical limitations of how many people can really be on a pole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it kind of makes sense, you know.
You got to have a limiting factor somehow.
Yeah, you can't have 20 attachers on the pole.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, otherwise you start looking like Japan.
I think it was just like
some certain neighborhoods in Japan. Like,
yeah, or just, you know,
big ass,
you know, third world India.
Why don't we have tunnels? You know, things that don't fall down in storms.
Underground?
Verizon owns tunnels.
Well, it depends.
They own certain tracks of tunnels. Like under here, there's tunnels. Over there,
in
Broome Street, there's
cities,
tunnels.
Urban environments, but
okay. Why don't we run through those?
No, it's expensive.
It's expensive,
right?
Yeah, but wouldn't the maintenance be like lower?
Yeah, but you would think that. But like, you got to understand, like the ground freezes, right? And so then, what happens to the handhold? It froze. So then you got to get a torch, and you got to torch the handhold to basically open it back up.
Hmm.
Like what happened next door here when the ice sidewalk froze over here, and I saw the DPW hammering at it.
Yeah, hammering at it and probably hitting it with a blowtorch, trying to get that manhole open.
Yeah, but like, as I'm watching on the radar, there's ice going to be forming on power lines across the state.
Yeah, within
they're
3 hours,
they're
going to
have to be dealing with that, too.
Yeah, but it's cheaper. I mean, flat out, it's just cheaper to do it. Because, like, if you think about it, the other thing, too, is, like, you have rocks. So you're going to drop a plow, right? You're going to hit the rocks, and then you got to blast the rocks. Or you basically kill an entire tree line because you cut all the roots on the trees, right, along the road. Like, I mean, there's practical problems to doing underground facilities that people don't think about. They're like, oh, just put it underground. Okay, fine. So if you're willing to part with a lot of trees, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
You know?
But on that note, where other places already have underground easements, they're now repurposing them, like parts of Massachusetts, which they're now giving to gas companies the right to do larger scale geothermal. Because they already have the underground pipes there. So if they interconnect a neighborhood of pipes, then you can do geothermal and share it with a neighborhood. So in that case, we already have stuff in the ground and people who know that.
And that's municipally owned, or?
No. We're talking about easements, rights of easements owned by gas companies who already have gas lines in the ground, are now converting into greener energy, which is geothermal, because they already know how those things work. They can put their stuff into their trenches because they're already dug.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? That is interesting.
So you don't have to do your own geothermal for your house. They could do it for 10, 20 houses, or however they're going to do it in a community-based thing.
That's assuming they can get to that point, because geothermal is mostly a pipe dream unless it's, you know, close to the surface and really rocking, like Norway and stuff, but not like here.
I would say it's just the ground energy, 50 degrees.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
That's actually not excessive. You just use that for heat pumps to
dump their heat.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a heat sink.
That would actually be nice, because heat pumps are terrible when it's cold.
All right, just going to remind the listeners out there,
loops were good.
You're listening to 90.7 FM Acra Hudson Catskill WGXE Radio for Open Ears.
So you have a heat pump, I'm guessing?
A heat pump?
Oh, yeah. No,
and you experience what it costs at 6 degrees
Wait,
Fahrenheit.
What is that? Like a, is that so where the refrigerant's outside? Like, it's only a refrigerant loop, and the actual heating exchanger is outside?
Yeah, like a mini split.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like those split mini ducts.
Right.
And then you can reverse it, so in the summertime, you get cool on it.
Does yours reverse? It's a heat pump AC?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay.
But when it's
6 degrees.
How does that work?
Terribly in the cold.
Wow.
It works terribly progressively under like 20-something degrees.
Yeah.
At a certain point around maybe 6 degrees Fahrenheit, gas is cheaper. Because the idea there is it costs, you know, when it's an average of 2 to 1. You put 1 kilowatt of pumping energy into it because you're pumping heat, you get 2 kilowatts of heat energy out of it. But when you're dropping down to around 6 degrees Fahrenheit or zero, you're about 1.2.
You're still,
you're still 1.2 kPa. And then when you get down to zero, it's pretty even. And at that point, also your coils are freezing up outside, so you got to turn on defrosters, which lessens your efficiency. So yeah, air to air does not.
And then
work
when you compare that to
well.
Standard electrical heating systems, gas is always cheaper. So, I mean, you could just go that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you bump up your heat in your house when it's super cold, and heat pumps will work well when it's 20 degrees or higher.
Yeah.
Well, you just start a fire in the trash can.
Trash can fire.
Yep. Dumpster fire.
Pump some oil out of the ground and light it on fire.
I'll keep you warm. Just don't sleep in the thing, because you'll wake up and, you know, smushed in the dump.
Have you seen into any of the fiber holes that Verizon has around here? Have you watched them open it up?
Nope.
It's actually
the handholes.
No, not the handholes, but the manholes, where they can actually go down into some of them, and set up their poles. So they kind of have like a hybrid thing going on here already, where part of it's underground and then it comes up.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
I think
I've seen them do it out in front of my house.
Well, all right. Sounds...
That's interesting.
So if underground was superior, and I mean, maybe it is.
It is.
I don't know.
It depends. I mean, it depends.
It is.
If you're in the village, yes.
If they
put
could,
it underground, that's
this,
the way to
this
go.
This stuff was put in probably around, I don't know, 100 years ago, right?
Yes.
The original tunnel?
Yeah, these tunnels the manholes. So if they could have made it, it would have been way easier because there's a lot less stuff built back then.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's also different building regulations.
True.
All sorts of don't-haves anymore, but, you know.
Yes, and now we've got all those pesky chuds running around.
Yeah, I'd figure if they were going to put them in and it was easy to do so, they'd have already been in.
Yeah, it's just...
But we have a hybrid system now. And it's probably they're in the easiest spots that they can possibly be in.
Yeah, like right
until there's a good flood.
Yeah.
Oops. And then it freezes.
Well, that's why everything's sealed. Everything's all sealed up.
Oh yeah, sealed real well.
I was reading about how some bundles of fiber come with this like goop, dielectric goop in there.
Oh yeah.
Like
they
Vaseline almost, but thicker
the goop
Vaseline.
You put in to pull it.
Icky pick.
Icky pick. That's what they called it. Yeah, it's a funny name.
Icky pick. That's what's in there.
It's like this goo that like sticks to itself, but not to you. Like it'll stick, but
it sticks to you, right?
Off. Yeah, it's gross.
It dries up really quickly.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, no, it's this gross. It's this gross goo. Like a lot of underground like direct buried cables, they will have the icky pick in. Because what the idea is you put the gel in there so the water can't get in.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you don't put that in there, right, the water gets in there and just wrecks everything. So then it, you know.
And then the poor schmuck in the truck has to clean it all off.
Well, no, you're digging
stuff,
it
right?
up. You're digging it up, and then you're trying to clean that crap up, and it's just, it's not going to happen.
Hey.
Do they keep a bottle of, like, acetone and methylated spirits in the truck to clean that stuff?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Squeaky clean.
Yeah, because I'm assuming we don't want it to be hydrophilic or water soluble.
Do that fusion. You got to have it clean.
Yeah, just rid yourself off with some kerosene. You're all
right. Yeah. Take a bath in methyl ethyl ketone.
No. You can't get that anymore.
No.
You can't?
No. You can use that for making drugs. So they
what?
Took it off the shelf. Yeah, you can't get. You can get mech equivalent at the big box store.
They
but that's
don't,
different.
They didn't take it off the shelves because it kills your liver and brain. They took it off because you could make meth out of it.
Probably.
That's right.
That's why you can't
hey,
like
Brian, you
want to
go buy me some Sudafed?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
That's why you can't
cuz it works really good.
You can't You can't smooth PLA prints anymore. You can't do vapor smoothing of PLA prints easily.
Cuz of those dirty junkies.
That's right. You can't get mech.
Yeah, but like
can't get mech. Not because it's poisonous, but because you could make meth out of it.
Wow. As far as I maybe I got the story wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's why they took it off the shelves.
You're probably right cuz decades after they now, know if I get a commercial people, license, they were still selling that stuff.
You could probably buy it on eBay. Like, you buy the permethrin in bulk. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
So
crossing them state lines.
Yeah.
eBay, don't care.
Or is that Alibaba?
Oh, they care even less.
Yeah, right. You just got to get your freight forwarder to handle it. Don't tell them the truth about what it is.
So you should be proud of me. I just skipped, like, you know, 6 or 7 racist jokes. So we're good.
About Alibaba?
Oh, yeah.
Alibaba.
Don't keep talking about it. So, any other things? Hey, don't you have a bio break? We're starting to run out of time.
Kind
of.
Are you right? That plastic thing that's going to save the world of... PET.
I won't say it's going to save the world.
I know, it's just
so
PET.
there's a problem in a, what do you call it? In the world of resins and plastic resin manufacturing.
Oh, so we're not cleaning my bowl.
Bowl?
Excuse me? That's a job for salt and alcohol, isn't it?
If you have a glass piece that does tend to work, isopropyl alcohol will dissolve it, and the salt, well, you can use salt, you can also use sand, too. Sand works great. You can reuse it.
Fireplace ash.
Fireplace ash? Yeah, it'll make the solution very alkaline.
Yeah, it'll make it almost like a rudimentary soap.
Well, because, like, if you have, like, wood stove glass...
Wait a minute, why do you know that? You're straight. You're straighter than an arrow.
He said wood stove glass.
Wood stove glass, right?
Oh, for wood stove glass, I use ammonia.
It's a wood stove.
A little bit of ammonia on a rag, and the soot wipes off. Like,
interesting.
Whoop.
Okay.
That's why they put ammonia in ammonia. Windex. Yeah, okay. So just use straight ammonia on your glass wood stoves.
Okay.
Works great, bud. But on the actual pipes, there was something that I had discovered once that you let it sit overnight.
I mean, ammonia won't... I mean, like, fireplace ash won't kill you like ammonia. I mean, ammonia should be evaporated by that bulb.
We're not, like, huffing these chemicals. We're just cleaning them in a ventilated room properly. I mean, yeah, don't mix bleach with the ammonia.
Yeah, you're going to make chlorine gas if you do that.
Put sunlight in your cell.
And you'll end up looking like the World War I vets who come to the fucking the hospital all messed up with their faces.
And
they can't see out of their eyeballs.
A little mustard gas.
Anyways, there's this problem in manufacturing plastics. And... You have to, if you want to make stuff with recycled plastics, you can't really...
Hire a bunch of Chinese immigrants?
It's a problem with the materials that go into the process.
Materials.
So not the labor?
Not the labor.
It's the
labor
is
whatever. Okay. You can make a manufacturing line to do this automatically.
Oh, okay.
So you have to wash your input materials of all the junk that's on it. All
right.
Gotcha. So you can get rid of the cigarette butts in the cans.
Quite right.
Okay.
See, that's where the child labor comes in.
Then you have to shred it all up to little pieces, and and then what you get out of it, you have to heat it up, and then mix it with new material.
Yeah, you need to get like all the like fingers and stuff that got stuck.
So the process from, you know, recycling to new product is very linear, and you only get like 2, maybe 3 uses out of that non-virgin material is what they call it. Before it finally is degraded so much that it has to go back to the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And that's the slutty material.
That is the material that...
They burn it a little for
it.
Yeah,
it's been around the block so many times, it's used up and not good anymore.
That's right. So, we want to solve that problem. You want to make it circular. You don't want to keep adding more and more material from petrochemical industry.
Okay, how do you make it like perpetually reusable, though? We switched to metal.
So it's just
maybe glass jars.
It's just a funny story.
Sorry.
I'm a great advocate. I love metal. I love glass. Mm. But there's this science team who found a bacterium. I can't recall the name of it at the moment. But they took a sample from a PET, polyethylene terephthalate. That's the name of the plastic that most of your water bottles are made of. A recycling plant for PET. And from this mud, they found a bacterium that had developed enzymes to degrade PET back to its monomeric state. So instead of a polymer, it's a monomer.
Oh, so it's
breaks the changes.
It can be reused, like
right.
Brand new.
This bacterium uses it for energy, and they convert it, to the little subunit, the subunits that are... Can we what?
Eat the bacteria. Like just a big old bacteria sausage.
We can get to that. Let me finish, though.
Because everything in sausage is gross already. You might as well go there.
So you know, commercial interests get they get interested in all this because solving that problem of not needing to always introduce virgin material, that's profitable. Mm-hmm. They can patent that. They can license that out. And there's a couple of companies that are doing that. One's Carbios, C-A-R-B-I-O-S. And there's another one called Enzymity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Funny names they come up with. But
capitalism supports
this. Yeah, they engineered a new... They mutated this natural protein that evolved in the soil to be highly efficient at turning polyethylene terephthalate back to its monomer, the subunits,
the whole little bacterium.
I think they engineered the protein.
So that's going to act like a catalyst.
At least Carbios did. They mutated the protein until it finally did something much more efficient than the original.
Okay.
And Enzymity did like directed evolution so that it would get better over time, and then took that strain and are propagating it.
Okay.
And they plan on licensing that, but it's really cool. Because
they took both routes, but
yeah,
okay,
you know, they're competitors, they'll compete,
yeah, but it's good. I mean, if you're using different techniques, you learn different things,
but I think that's pretty awesome because they now you don't need a temperature of 200 degrees Celsius to actually make new plastic stuff out of the polyethylene. You can just put it in this bioreactor at 60 Celsius and get all of it out. You don't even have to wash the stuff because it's super selective for that polymer.
Oh.
It's a protein that only degrades that polymer, and then you can extract the monomers.
Wow.
And it's just as good as the virgin material.
Now, is it... I know, like, on the recycling, it's, like, 1 through 5 they target. Now, are those all PET plastics, or how does that work?
Oh, no, like, one is, like,
now, I'm forcing
HDPE
to Google
is very specific.
I don't have to Google. I got it right here, man.
Identity polyethylene.
I think.
That's the most recyclable. That's going to be, like, your milk jugs.
That would be number
one. The cool
one.
Thing is going to be when Cody's bacteria are allowed their Darwinian, like, gap to fill, and they evolve, and then they spread everywhere and turn all plastics basically into mush.
Yeah.
Watch a car just disintegrate going down the road.
Or they mutate and develop a hunger for basic amino acids that break the
cells. No. That was the easy route. It starts devouring humans from the inside out, like from their water bottle. Your water bottle will eat you.
Yeah, wait, so basically you we're creating like powder post beaters. Beetles of like the 21st century.
Powder post beetles?
Yes.
That Skynet will latch onto
so
and evolve for its own purposes.
A powder post beetle was actually, it's a weird.
It's like a weevil? A wood louse?
Pretty much.
I know about wood louse.
Yeah, wood louse. And they'll actually eat chips and all sorts of other stuff. And
yeah.
We're creating that ourselves.
Yes. We're making next generation techno locusts.
I mean, I'm guessing that this. Look, it's energetically disfavorable for a bacteria like that.
Mm hmm.
To degrade a polymer, because polymers, the reason we find them so useful is because they don't degrade mm-hmm. so easily,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's like finding something that breaks down cellulose for you. So you can make
we have to have this thing
hard,
and its only food source is the polymer, mm-hmm. and we have to have it at an increased temperature. I don't think that's going to happen. The situation that you just posited,
mm-hmm.
where you know our bottles just break down at room temperature and. Our cars are breaking down as we drive. I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen, but that
because
means it's still possible.
There's so many... There's much easier pathways for that life form to take, you know, before it
life
ever gets to that
life forms don't necessarily take the easiest route. They do... Evolution does apparently have a directivity to it, and it's not just random.
Yeah.
But there still is a random element.
The directivity is the environment.
Yeah. No, the directivity is from within, apparently.
Well, wait a minute. But
what?
my Chinese friend who works at the Wuhan lab said...
Their activity comes from Fauci's bank account.
Oof.
That was just an easy dig. Come on.
And there goes the liberal audience. Bye-bye, everybody.
Come on.
Wait, we had an audience?
On everything.
I needed an audience first.
We have an audience
somewhere
out there.
All five people out there that I hope no one was making a joke.
More people listen to us than you think. More people listen to us than you think.
I was making a... We dig science around here, but we also like to make fun of things, okay? So to take... Like everything else that you ever hear, take it with a grain of salt. Think about it, you know?
Anyways.
Yeah.
Back to what you... The first comment that you made, which was about how we can eat them like a sausage. That would be kind of cool because then maybe we can... eat a bacterial lozenge, a bolus of plastic-eating bacteria And then they can eat the microplastics that are accumulating in us.
Oh, that's right, because they're... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
and
happening,
that is literally,
literally
how they would evolve to start eating us, when they run out of microplastics in the body, and they're like, I'm still hungry.
Oh, I'm still hungry, and that amino acid right there.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah. Or how about this myelin coating your nerves? Let's give everybody instant Alzheimer's.
How about this myelin? Oh, my God.
Ooh, yeah, there's things. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how
Lime already does that.
Okay, exactly.
Who cares? Nobody cares about that.
But you need to get lime from, like, a tick. I'm talking about something airborne.
Or do you? How do you know you can't get Lyme disease as you would any other spirochete?
Which is how is a spirochete normally transmitted?
You know what a spirochete is?
What's a spirochete? I, of course, know what one is, but please, tell our listeners.
Spirochete is the type of bacteria that Borrelia burgdorferi is, and also syphilis.
Syphilis.
And also leprosy.
Okay, so it's a type of bacteria, but what distinguishes it from others?
Exactly. That's his question.
It involves contact?
The way
I know syphilis involves contact.
Syphilis involves contact of the...
leprosy, a little...
leprosy, you come to
contact.
Leprosy?
Right?
What? You gotta like touch an armadillo, a dead armadillo, to get leprosy.
Really?
Yeah. But how did people in medieval Europe get it?
It was a fairly close contact. But
presumably
not,
they'd be in close contact. But I guess
in the same room.
Yeah, you'd have to have like a live posture.
And there's kind of a reason why they had leper colonies.
Yeah.
Because
it was transmissible one way or another. Yeah. Even if it was not direct, it was close enough. I believe it was direct.
So how do we know that Lyme isn't transmissible?
By close proximity?
Because we don't watch it, because doctors aren't reporting it being spread through families like that. We would see it. Like, as soon as a kid got it, the doctor would probably be like, okay, now I need to worry about this going to anybody else that's sensitive in the family. And it's something they probably would have spotted by now.
No, I don't know if that we would have spotted things like that. If it's things that are subtle spread, you might not know for a while.
Yeah, but you're still talking about transmissions that are close to those diseases you described. So
maybe
you're going to be spitting in someone's face or something. And
good question.
I mean, it's not airborne.
It's
definitely not
airborne,
that. Okay. It's not going to be waterborne.
I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's airborne.
Okay, so who's gotten Lyme?
It's definitely saliva-borne. By ticks, anyways.
Okay, so don't go around licking doorknobs.
Don't go licking people with Lyme.
Stop biting each other.
Stop licking faces.
Yep. Don't
licking
bite each
faces
other.
And biting strangers is a bad idea, folks.
Okay.
In case you didn't realize that,
don't
lick
do
it.
Well, I don't know. You know, the last time I was doing some bath salts, I had some really good ideas in my head.
All right, it's your turn. You've had long enough for this to kick in.
What?
The Java Monster.
Yes.
The mean bean.
Yes. Energy drinks go in,
go
radio
ahead.
Comes out.
Bring something up. My bio breaks over. I said what I thought was cool. About.
Where's the flushing sound?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to talk about stuff? No.
I guess not. Brian, you got anything?
That's not part of the deal.
It's totally part of the deal. All you did was run one command. You can't say there's a setup anymore.
Although we probably have to figure out
Jeff Bezos
what's going
is
on
building a mega yacht.
Oh, that! Oh.
And the Dutch are going to have to destroy a historic bridge to let it out.
They don't got to do nothing.
Yeah. You're right. They don't got to.
They don't got to do nothing.
Well, they're going to because he's paying them lots and lots of money.
What? Take the bridge apart?
Yeah.
Yeah, a historic bridge.
His yacht's being built inland, and to get it out to sea, its mast is going to have to like cross this bridge.
Which is, it already has 130 feet of clearance.
Because somebody who's...
Yeah, but, no, it's the Jeff Bezos yacht.
So
if it's not bigger than everyone else's yacht, then
here's the weird part about
it. Not represented.
You figure his yacht's probably going to cost in excess of $100 or $150 million.
Well,
you would think for that price, the engineers would have figured out how to make a demountable mast.
Right, a takedown nest.
A takedown.
Something that has a hinge and collapses,
hinge.
Maybe. No, no.
Or even a slot and a flange.
If this was my ship, it would bend for no one. The bridge bends, not my ship.
Exactly, that's
do
the whole point of this.
Do you not understand how powerful this man is?
I know. So, a very rich man is going
that skin?
To,
that skin you see on him, that belonged to hobos yesterday.
Jesus.
That was the skin that was left over...
Okay, it
from
used
the
to
stuff
be
that wasn't burned.
He's moved on to children.
And he lit them on fire. So, he learned after the fifth time you only light about 20% of the body on fire so you can use the rest of the skin to regenerate yourself.
Yeah, and that's
so
the
anyways,
slow workers at the warehouse that we experimented on.
Wow.
put that poor people wow. use. I'm telling you.
Jeez.
All right. Sorry. Keep. Sorry. Please continue.
No, we were talking about this earlier. Like, there's this. What is it? The Dutch? There's like a nation state going, yeah, sure, take down our bridge. Like a man wants.
One man can command a nation state,
a city,
a $500 million yacht,
and it's supposed to be the biggest and most luxurious in existence. So yeah, he's like, this is.
Do you think he's paying them just to take down the bridge?
More than it's going to cost them.
I hope not. I hope they're just doing it as a sign of respect. Like, oh, Jeff Bezos, thank you for blessing us.
I'm glad you're here building your boat in our shipyard.
Yep, this giant technological like disgrace upon the green earth.
Godfather Bezos, thank you for inviting me to your daughter's wedding. May she have many masculine children. We've opened the bridge for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
And meanwhile, Bezos is going, the crazy laugh he's got.
Wow. He is not of this earth. He's just slowly trying to find his way back.
Nah, man, he's a reptilian.
He's a lizard person.
He's one of the reptilians, man, I tell you.
He's reptilian. Oh. So the skin isn't important. It's just like a show that's draped over him.
So it's like an Egger suit. You ever watch Men in Black?
Yes. What would you do
it's like the it's like the Weird Al video, Foil. His music video for Foil. And Patton Oswalt rips off his mask.
Yes, which is based on V from back in the 70s, which is a TV show where the reptile aliens came down to the planet to help us, but they were really here to eat us. But then we had rebels, and the rebels got them high, and that's how we defeated them.
Because the rebels got them high.
They were truth,
we
man.
We messed them up with drugs, man. They
that
loved it and
truth,
destroyed them.
Man.
That was the truth,
what
man.
What about
that's
they
an,
live?
That's an analogy they for live. What Britain did to China with the opium wars. It's easy.
They live was the truth, sir.
All right, good.
Consume.
Obey.
Obey.
Sleep. Sleep.
Put on the glasses.
Leading up to the longest fight scene I've ever seen in my life.
Best fight scene you ever seen in your life.
I won't say it's the best. It's the longest one.
Good. It's the longest.
It's a long.
It's like borderline uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. Totally. It goes off
yeah.
I don't know how long. It's like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
5-6 minutes.
Dude,
fight scene.
No, it's Rowdy Roddy Piper. You get your money's worth.
That's right.
You know they used to work for the MBTA, right? In Boston.
What?
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was arrested for doing cocaine.
Aww.
In his toll booth. In his actually like in the token booth.
Wait, they don't give you prizes for that?
I don't know. Well, they should, right?
Right for cocaine?
I know,
hey,
right?
You should take it. How you doing?
How are you getting me coked out of your mind sitting in a tiny toll booth? You should be getting an award for that.
I don't know. And you're like flicking tokens out. Like the guy like throws a five at you. You're like, thump, thump, thump.
He was the most efficient toll booth.
What do you want me to do,
history.
Heroin?
Exactly, right? Just flick those like T tokens in.
God.
Oh man, what are the greats?
What's that Metro Bop? The Metropolitan Boston Transport Authority?
Yeah, I think
you said
so.
MBTA, right?
Yeah. Or no, it's like Mass Bay Transit Authority.
Oh, okay.
Anybody listening to the radio show, you probably don't want to be out on the road right now because the freezing line is now breaking into Greene County. The higher elevations are definitely getting some frozen precipitation right now. It's going to hit the ground soon.
Sheets of ice.
Here in the valley,
don't
you're going to
see
some freezing.
Don't know what the temperatures are lingering because I don't trust my readout here, really. But it says it's below freezing already outside, so be super careful.
All that liquidy salt is going to wear out soon.
Oh, yeah, DPWs are showing accidents up and down the throughways. And, yeah, salt is still viable down to about 15 degrees.
Well, it depends on what kind of salt they have.
True. And how much you use.
If they're using calcium chloride, I think it's not very low temperature. But if they're using, like, mag chloride and other...
calcium chloride goes, it'll go low.
I forget which one it is.
The grade of the road, how quickly it runs off and then it gets replaced with nothing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. But the problem is there's no salt down right now because it's been raining all day.
That's
There's been
salt.
No point. Nobody's been out there.
That's why
I haven't seen
exactly. Yeah. That is why it's dangerous. It will turn to ice and there will be nothing to defend you from it. Mm-hmm. You will just be creeping home, which is why after the show there ain't going to be much of an after show. I might just leave it running and leave.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Ice is no joke. I will drive in like a snowstorm, but ice will kill you, and you won't see it coming because the SUV barreling down the road will just realize they're done. And
7:58.
It's 7:58. We got 2 more minutes. It cuts out. It cuts out.
They cut us out on the hour.
On the hour, okay. And then they do. Then they do 2 minutes worth of station stuff.
Yeah, we fought that last time, and I listened to our archive.
No, they cut us off.
No, we were in the middle of talking.
Different.
Okay, well, I hope that that important, like, you know, message about your safety wasn't cut off.
Probably not.
Because
probably not.
Because it could have. I mean, could have saved your life. Sorry.
Being arrested for cocaine. That was the important.
Yeah, that was really important.
We needed about Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
We're gonna toll booth coked out of his head.
That hard journalism cutting through. Okay, well, as the painkillers and energy drinks start to dwindle from my system, it's 7:59 here at the Jeff Bezos Skin Replacement Center.
But remember, first you light the hobo on fire, but not too much of him.
No, you gotta toast him like a marshmallow. Don't get it crispy.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking.
You get fired for that. Then they shuffle. Then they. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Don't forget, those are things that failed experiment.
Hey, you never said what got your. We got in your craw today when you walked in.
Oh, that's a good...
My craw?
Yeah. You said anger and caffeine.
Yeah, anger and caffeine. You never said what got you angry and why you're so miserable.
Oh, stuff unrelated to things, personal stuff that I'm not going to hash out on the radio here.
Not work stuff?
No, some work stuff. Long drives through, like...
Oh, fun.
Gray, dreary, foggy places to fix weird machines I didn't expect.
Where'd you go up to today?
Latham.
Oh, God.
Is there anything good in Latham?
Yeah, there's a good Korean restaurant up at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Good
barbecue place.
What?
It's by Harbor Freight.
I've been there. No, that is good.
Not that one.
Good one. There's a better one right above the airport, too.
Oh.
Called, I forget what it's called. Soul something. I don't know what it is.
Soul Kitchen, probably.
Soul Kitchen, I think. Something like that. But above the airport, there's another one on the road to disconnect you or whatever. There's another one.
I went to the one, what was it, by Harbor Freight. That was good. I haven't been there.
Yeah, that one's good.
Me and Brian had Budaechi guy there.
You need two people because it's gigantic.
Yeah, they give you a huge freaking bowl.
The one above the airport, one major road up, that one's really, really good.
That one's really good?
Yeah. They're both good, which is amazing because it's freaking Albany.
Hot Pot has been the one that I've been hard. No, I'm trying to find a hot pot. No. I found a hot pot? No. Like, yeah, I saw one in Kingston, right? It looked decent. But, like, I've not found that around here.
Hot pot?
Yeah,
hot pot. You're probably not going to. You mean around here? This area? Hudson Valley?
We have to assume Albany even.
Yeah.
We'll go there.
I think you could get hot pot at the one that we went to, right?
Hot pot? You mean like a chige?
Like a bibimbap?
No. The hot pot, they're like these soup
people
bowls,
speaking
and then
words?
You like dop, you dip the pieces of meat in there.
Oh,
they're like paper thin.
The Japanese have a name for that. You dip the pieces.
Hibachi.
I only went to the Chinese version of them. I've not been to the Japanese ones. There was like hot pot or whatever.
I can't even remember.
It's not hibachi, is it?
No. Hibachi is barbecue.
Yeah, that's barbecue.
I just got an air fryer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got
shabu shabu is what the Japanese call it.
Cuisinart.
Oh, okay.
With very thin pieces of meat.
You
dump it in a little broth.
First thing I did was chopped up a potato and shove it in.
Place in New York City.
Good enough.
Is it just like one of those multifunction things?
Yes.
Where it's got like
enough,
the toaster
like,
oven elements and a fan in the back.
That's where
two elements
like
on the bottom, four on top,
that's
fan on top. And it has fan options for like bacon, other things, and the standard options along with it. So it does
brought hot pot.
Because my girlfriend died, I wanted to do everything it did.
You know, I think.
And you see a shabu shabu.
I think it's a lot more efficient than just heating up that huge space of an oven.
I've seen the Chinese.
I don't have an oven.
Yeah,
and that's the
one.
My oven died like years ago. And I'm getting
electric
based on with
gas.
The Chinese doing it.
Oh,
like the top range still works, and
Japanese
I use that.
Now.
The oven itself, like a temperature like, sensor died or something.
Oh.
And it's so old, I don't even care. Like, I'll just get a new oven soon.
Yeah,
right.
That is good.
Like,
yeah, that's
like,
what the
I'm getting to the point where soon the floor will be good enough for me to redo the kitchen.
It's all the same. Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. Don't tell them this, but they're all related.
No, I'm not going to do that, Brian. No.
There's a conversation I had 15 years ago with my friend Dennis and his mom. Hey, yeah, we just looking at the genetics of it. They found out that Koreans have the same genetics as Japanese. They think they moved over and then they went to Japan. And she goes, no, they're not. Yeah, Japanese are descended from Koreans. She's like, no, we're not. Koreans. They're dirty.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the Japanese.
Okay.
I was going to say white guy number 5 can't really comment on that. I'm just going to like one over that way.
Oh, that's right. Old Asian women are the most racist human beings on earth, no matter
especially against that those three groups. I mean, it's like crazy.
Amongst each other who are genetically related, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just poking my head out that
dirty.
You damn dirty Asian.
Yeah, no.
Okay, wrong race.
I mean, my stepmother's Chinese, and like her mom won't even buy a Japanese car. Like, flat out will just not do it.
Yeah. Flat out. And for the same reason why Leo David of Leo's Stereo on the West Coast would never buy a German car.
Well, yeah, same sort of behavior.
Because, well, not just behavior, the embodied history of the Holocaust or the rape of Nanking.
Yeah.
Which is very alive in people who are age 65 to 90 years old today.
Yeah, no, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Were there kids at the time? Yeah, that's deep in the memory. Because that was some fucked up shit the Japanese did.
They were nasty over there. They were nasty. They were nasty.
That was worse.
That was, yeah.
Stop. We brought the stream down and the recording down?
All right, anybody that is depraved enough to be listening to this stream, it's going down. Have a good night, everybody.